Brian Sotheby joins us. Suds, how are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Now, how many of your suits do you still have? Yeah, you got a few, don't you?
More than a few. I got about two that I can squeeze into right now. I can't even wear boxers. I got to wear like tidy Under Armour black skin tight shorts when I wear my suit right now.
But it's true. It's such a guy thing. Yeah. Like, we all hold on hope that you're like, yeah, that suit, man. I remember I used to rock that bad boy. I'm still going to rock it again one day.
Yeah.
Like, once you get into your 30s, for whatever reason, you still hold on to them. And they're in great shape.
I have all my suits from my rookie season. I have them all still.
And you don't wear probably three quarters of them.
No, but some of them I like.
Yeah, yeah. You like it.
And they'll come back in style at some point. But, but I got more than a few I can donate.
Oh, excellent. Make sure they're in a dry cleaner bag.
I will.
That's the only rule. It's the only rule we have. So, guys, we'll get them. We're great. We got Dirk's on board. They're going to help out with the alterations. Or also, if you want to drop off your suit in a dry cleaner bag or dress shirt, and if you have some polished up shoes that maybe you don't wear anymore either, you can drop them all off at Dirk's, and they'll give you 15% off anything. Yeah. If you don't have time that day, you can just come back at any time. They will give you a nice little Greater Foundation 15% off thing, which is cool.
Very cool.
We had Dave Lumley on the show. People have been asking about the Oilers' top six.
Mm-hmm.
Could you now? You've seen on different teams they moonlight guys up there. You know, Lumley did it for a few games. Dave Semenko did it for a few games. Rather than just keep the top six, would you throw a Hendricks up there for a few games or a Ryan Smith? Do you think at that point might be better right now to try to move some things around? Maybe have Anton Lander as your quote third line center and try some different things.
I've thought about it. I remember us talking about that a few months ago when Ryan Jones and talking about maybe he being a guy that could move up there. Joensuu, just trying to get a different look. A different feel where you get into games where you're playing the St. Louis Blues and you can't just keep throwing the same thing at them. You got to switch it up a little bit and be physical. I think you touched on it just before the break, though, that even with a guy like Hendricks, I think he could be a guy that they could try. I think he's got enough ability when put in that situation that he could probably finish and create some stuff, be good with puck retrieval and bang some bodies and try to create some more space for some of those guys. But he's not really in that mold where I just don't know if he has quite that offensive talent to move up into sort of a top six role. And they don't really have anyone. It's almost like a fairly steep drop off of guys that could sort of move up and play with those guys. And you talk about Mix and the players they have. That's where they kind of need to get to, though, is being able to maybe mix and match their top six into a top nine and adding in a few of those players like a Hendricks, but maybe with a little more skill. I don't know if he's the right guy, but I don't think at this point, why not try it at least?
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
What do you got to lose? Right? Because I don't think you can look at these top six forwards and say you're going to go into next season with the same top six.
No.
You're asking for the same thing if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, and I think you see how some of the other players maybe adapt and play with a player that's a little more abrasive, play with a guy that's a little more simple and will put pucks in deep and go get it. Try to play more of a cycle game, see what some of those guys can do. Because eventually you're going to have to get someone with more size, maybe a little bit less skill, hopefully not, but a lot of the bigger players try to play a more power game where they're dumping the puck in and being on the body and playing a little bit different game than just trying to score off the rush. And some of these guys like Hall and Nuge and Eberle and whatnot, they're going to have to adapt to playing with guys like that and change their game. So maybe there's no better time to start than now.
You played a penalty kill more than you did the power play in the NHL. I was looking up the numbers. Like this year, the Oilers, last year they were 21% and a bit on the at home ice on the PP, 19% on the road, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Last full season, there was 26 out of 30 teams that were better on home ice than they were on the road on the power play. What can you – now, the years before it was 21 and 21, not as obvious as 26, but still clearly there's an advantage. Any reason why you think that is?
An advantage at home they're having right now? I don't know. You would think at times teams try to be too cute at home, and maybe that's a deterrent. So why I would think that, I'm not sure. I don't know that yelling shoot and hearing stuff like that can necessarily help your power play. But I think for the Oilers, at times they need to hear that. So maybe that's why they're doing a little bit better at home this year. For them, when I see their power play, they lack that big shot from the point. They don't want to shoot it a lot. They want to try to make the pretty play. And I think at times they're still really lacking that net presence, that mucking guy in front that's going to bang home the garbage and it just trying to be a little bit too cute. Those would be the things that I would be trying to work on, is just getting pucks to the net and being more focused on shooting and getting to the net, big bodies in front of the net.
Well, their power play, they need to shoot the puck more. Yeah. I was like, well, here's a few things. And I went back and, obviously I don't have much time on my hands. So I was watching, going back and looking at videos from last year and goals that they scored on their power play compared to this year. And a few things I noticed. A, last year's power play units basically stayed the same all year long. There was a stretch when Horkoff got hurt, so they had to switch it out. But for the most part, they kind of had two units. Mm-hmm. And the second unit with Hemsky and Yakupov was pretty damn good. They each led the team with 5 goals.
Yeah.
Right? Sam Gagne had 15 power play points last year.
Yeah.
Justin Schultz had 15 as well. He only has 9 this year. But last year, now he doesn't shoot the puck a ton. Right, but last year in 145 minutes of power play time between 5-on-4 and 5-on-3, he had 30 shots.
Yeah.
This year, now that was in 48 games. This year in 61 games, he's only got 24.
Hmm.
Like he's not shooting the puck.
Yeah.
And the coach talked about they're trying to get him to, he made a joke about, yeah, I want to get a shot collar on him like a dog so he shoots the puck. But even his own teammates are like, you got to shoot the puck. And I went back and looked at his goals that he scored last year. He scored a lot of goals just like he did the other day on the power play where he comes in with that snapshot.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's comfortable with, which is fine. But this isn't college and this isn't the American League. This is the NHL. I don't know what they do, but he's got to realize he needs to slap the puck from the point more often.
Well, you have to have a threat. You have to have a threat back there. If you're a forward defending that and in today's game, you watch video nonstop. You can go and watch all your shifts before a game. I can go online and watch every power play. You do it as a team. You can do it individually. You have computers where you can pull up every single shift, every power play of a team before you're playing them. Teams know that. They know that Schultz is going to look to pass more than he's going to shoot, or he's going to take more wrist shots. He doesn't really want to tee up a bomb. You can cheat. That allows you to cheat on the half wall. That allows you to creep down on the guy that's controlling the play, controlling the puck. You don't have to get to Schultz as fast because you know he's not going to rip it. So you have time. You can put more pressure on other players. So that is one element they really need from him. That was a beauty that he scored the other night, but he's got to be able, they have to find a threat back there that can one-time it, create something where that forward can't cheat down so much on the half wall and stay more to the middle of the ice and try and block a shot. But right now they don't do that.
The continuity factor helps, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't change up a lot. To me, that's on the coach. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Right? The shooting the puck thing, and the other thing Taylor Hall said today, and we'll get to his comments, was he said, we're not as good at retrieving pucks, whether it's on dump-ins or shots on goal like rebounds.
Yep.
And to me, that's Sean Horkoff. I know that people didn't like Horkoff, but you don't have to have all your fancy dancing guys on the power play. You need to have different abilities. And so you need somebody that if you're going to dump the puck in, either A, you got to make smart dumps, so you dump it to the cross corner knowing that guy's going to get there, or you've got to just battle harder for the puck. It's easier to say, okay, the guys got to do it themselves, which they do, or you just got to find a better mix of guys. Because without Horkoff on there, they haven't done nearly as good of a job on puck retrieval.
No, I remember talking about that earlier in the year, just looking at their makeup of the guys on the power play, and you see them when the puck's dumped, they don't really want to go get it. And the power play is about working harder, as easy as that sounds. It's about working harder than the opposition. The guys, the four guys that are out there know that they're giving it everything they have. They're guys that probably aren't as skilled, and that's their role, and they have to kill it like it's going to be their last shift. And a lot of times offensive players, even though you're on the man advantage, you feel like it might be easy or even easier. And so you dump the puck in, you think, well, we're going to outnumber them here, and the team that's working harder gets the puck. And a lot of times I see when they do take a shot, guys are just kind of standing around. They're not quite ready to jump on pucks. I mean, when that puck gets to the net, they need to have two or three guys going and be jumping on the rebound. I think from the continuity thing, that's good to have consistency in your lines. But I remember going back to junior, and this could just be one of those years. I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason that we can pick apart. I think the Schultz shooting thing might be one of them. But I remember my 18-year-old year in junior had 18 power play goals. And we did switch coach, but we didn't change any personnel. We didn't change anything. We didn't change anything on our power play setup. Everyone was in the same positions. We didn't lose any players. And the next year, we had the worst power play in the league. And I remember I had one power play goal, and I couldn't figure it out. We didn't know what was wrong, and we never solved it. Finished the year with one power play goal, and it seems a lot like that is happening this year. The personnel is the same. There's maybe not a lot being changed other than they're putting different players, mixing it up. But it's frustrating for those guys, and clearly haven't figured it out.
Ryan Sotheby, former NHLer, writes at OilersNation.com, joins us. Oilers taking on the Nashville Predators tonight. Everybody watching the game will salivate wondering, will Nashville trade Shea Weber? What can we get for Shea Weber? Because you know that's what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And when you look at Nashville's team, you do wonder, and I know it's hard to trade one of the greatest, he's top three defensemen in the game,
yeah.
But they can't score.
No.
Haven't been able to score for a long time. This forward group in Nashville this year might be even less known than any other forward group they've had in recent years. And you know what? You do wonder eventually, and especially with Seth Jones, who I'm not saying he's going to be Shea Weber because he's definitely not as mean as Shea Weber. But you wonder if this is the summer that maybe, and I know they paid $28 million for Shea Weber to play a grand total of about 130 games. That's a lot of money to eat. I wonder if Nashville ever changes their mind on Shea Weber.
Do you think that Trotz has to go before that would ever happen? I mean, they're such a defensive-minded team that I think Trotz is content to always build his team this way from the goalie to the back end on out. That's the way that they've been since he's been a head coach in this league. I mean, it's always interesting to think that, and this might be no better time for them to make a move like that, and the Oilers have an abundance of offensive forwards that could help. So, I don't know. Every time they come to town, everyone wants to talk about it.
Well, why wouldn't you? He's great.
He's awesome.
You do want, you know what? We'll have Josh Cooper on again. He's covered Nashville now for the last 7 seasons. He believes that there's a sliver of maybe a change in the organization that they think, you know what, maybe it's something to look at. Because they built their team around Pecorini and two great defensemen.
Yeah.
One of them's gone now. You've got Seth Jones, who people think could be very good. By the way, he's on the third pairing tonight. He's not playing with Weber. It's something to think about. But keep in mind, it's not like coming to Edmonton would be easy. You know what? A, you'd have to offer up a lot. B, I'd have to look. I'm pretty sure he has a no movement clause, so you know that factors into things quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean he's a stud, no question. You see what Pronger did to this team, and you see where he took this team. So adding a guy like him could definitely be a big boost, but you got to wonder what's going the other way, and I don't even know what that would look like. You'd have to think Eberle. I mean, would you have to think that it's one of Hall or Nugent Hopkins even in a deal like that?
Well, those are the two the Oilers wouldn't want to trade, but they might have no choice.
That's what I mean.
Right? To be one of them. I think the Oilers would try to do anything in their power to make a package that didn't involve those two.
Yeah.
Right? Because Hall's your best player.
Yeah.
And Nugent Hopkins, you trade him, now what are you doing with your center ice position? Yeah, you've really helped your back end, but your center ice position is so weak. So you're right. But when I look at it, what are other teams going to offer up Ryan Nugent Hopkins and Taylor Hall like players? Right? Like when you look at the best defensemen have been traded, look at the returns.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like when the Oilers got Chris Pronger, they gave up Eric Brewer and two defensemen.
Gave up nothing.
Right? Anaheim gave up Ladislav Smead, Joffrey Lupul, and draft picks.
Yeah.
None of those guys were their cornerstone franchise players. Right? So I really don't think you'd have to give up Hall and Nugent Hopkins based on past history. But you're gonna have to give up a lot. I don't think you'd have to give up your two best players.
Well, if they can do that, then absolutely do it.
Mm-hmm. But it would be a big package.
Yep.
There's no doubt. Oh. And I think Edmonton would be behind the eight ball just based on what their franchise record has been for the last 5 years. The only thing maybe going for them is Shea Weber is from Western Canada. That's the only thing maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, he lives in Kelowna,
mm-hmm.
So he likes it.
Maybe. But trust me, the list, if Shea Weber was on the market, I would say the list would be basically 29 teams deep.
Yeah, no question.
It would be tough to get them.